Did you have a chance to check out the return of Tallahassee's longest table event back on October 12th? Well, in case you didn't, here's a sample of sound from that happening.
My name is John Daly. I am the proud mayor of the great city of Tallahassee, and let me welcome you back to the longest table event.
Of course, that was Tallahassee Mayor John Daly welcoming the crowd and also bragging on how Tallahassee snagged a third All-America City Award. We'll go back and talk to some of the other folks who attended the longest table in a bit.
And I love this event because this is an opportunity for all of us to come together to break bread, especially in today's society where it seems to be so tense. And we all seem to be so angry. It's an opportunity to bring it down a notch. Cool things off. Hang out with your neighbors. Hang out with your friends. Have good conversation with people that you might not see on a day-to-day basis.
But as the mayor said, there is more than enough tension and divisiveness to go around nowadays. It seemed a good idea to get up with some folks who know a lot about that topic. And one of them is Ryan Owens. He's a professor of political science at FSU. He's also the director of the Institute for Governance and Civics at Florida State. So I just had to ask him, are the political fault lines getting wider?
Right now it's a mess, but there are signs for hope moving forward. I think one of the things that we've seen among the polls that we've conducted is not only a growing intolerance among the population as a whole, but particularly among younger people, but also a greater acceptance of or a lesser rejection of political violence. And I think we're seeing that play out, of course, in the public realm right now. But what leads me conversely to be optimistic is that our data also show a strong correlation between people who have greater civic awareness and a rejection of those types of negative behaviors. If there are paths forward out of where we find ourselves right now, one of those paths is a greater awareness of and teaching of civics in the American context.
You have so many people now who exist primarily online and in other kinds of influential bubbles and have little to no actual interaction with real live people. Is that a contributor, do you think, to this kind of violent situation that you guys are seeing in your research?
100%. If you look at some of the research on interpersonal communication, what you find is that the moment you have to look another person in the eye, your hackles come down, right? Being in the personal presence of another human being, it invokes age-old features, characteristics, learning about how you engage with others. And you don't have the keyboard courage, so to speak, any longer. It's not just violence, but it's also an empathy, right? When you're in front of another human being, you can see, you can feel the differences between you, but you can also see and feel the similarities. And there's an empathy that exists there in person that doesn't exist online. I think we should have a discussion about how young adults engage, if at all, on social media. I think that has to be the first step. And if we can resolve some of these issues among the youth as they age, if they can learn good habits and avoid bad ones, it isn't an entirely social media-driven phenomenon. I think it's largely one, but it's not entirely that. There are other factors that are leading to people siloing off and such in politics today.
Yeah, so as you mentioned before, there can be some mitigators. Should maybe more people join a civic club? Welcome back to the Lions Club or the Rotary or that, you know?
Well, I mean, it's funny you mention that because there are a lot of studies to show that Americans are just joining less and less often. And at the same time, the kinds of things that used to unite us, or at least have us all kind of engaged in similar activities, no longer exist. So we used to have three channels. Everybody watched the same things. They would talk about those things at the water cooler. That doesn't exist any longer. You can, for better or for worse, frankly, choose your own adventure with your entertainment. And so we don't share those things any longer. Institutions like churches and Rotary clubs and others, right? People aren't as engaged as they once were in those things. And so those cross-cultural, cross-class, cross-political interactions aren't nearly as vibrant as they once were. But, I mean, you cannot mandate people to attend these things, right? You can't require them to do it. So it's going to take some civic undertaking, I think, to get people interested in doing that sort of thing again.
Well, in Tallahassee, there is just such a mechanism, and it's called the Village Square. It's been around for nearly 20 years, and in fact, it actually organized the city's first longest table back before COVID. Christine Cox is the director.
We've been working at reviving the old town hall, basically. Kind of our little motto, it's still there from the very beginning. We called ourselves a nervy bunch of liberals and conservatives who believe that dialogue and disagreement make for a good conversation, a good time, and a good country. Obviously now, it's more than just liberals, conservatives. It's really anything and any label that you choose. But exactly, it's about bringing people together with divergent viewpoints to maybe listen more than they talk a little bit and just kind of come together to better understand where the, quote, other side is coming from. Not necessarily charging in to, you know, change other people's minds or a fear of your own, heaven forbid, being changed, but really just coming in with an open mind and an open heart to learn about why does the other side of whatever topic this is feel the way they feel, because obviously they have a reason to. They have life experiences and perspectives, and it's probably healthy for me to understand that.
Does it seem like that job, though, has gotten more difficult over particularly the last 10, 12, 13 years?
Yes, 100%. It kind of feels counterintuitive that one might think that when political sphere gets extremely ever more toxic and polarizing, feeling that people who care about this would want to come together even more than they ever have before. It's kind of like that idea that, you know, things have to get really bad to move people to take action. But unfortunately, what we see that it has done is when things get extra, extra toxic and polarizing, human nature kicks in kind of in a different way. And people, they look to their own tribes, silos, friend groups, whatever you want to call them. But it's almost like wanting a break from all that toxicity and staying in that safe space where you're surrounded by people who aren't going to challenge you in your perspective, and you can just feel safer there.
This, I don't want to be around anyone who doesn't feel or see things the same way I do. It's the old, I feel threatened. How do we, I guess, continue an endeavor like the Village Square in the face of those kinds of things and the fact that our lizard brains keep kicking in whether or not we want them to?
We ask ourselves that every day, right? What can we be doing at the Village Square? How can we be adapting to the times, but at the same time standing very firmly on our mission, which has been proven over these almost two decades now? We prove it over and over again because we do it with data, too. We do pre and post surveys of people who attend our events and find that even just attending just one event can move the needle a little bit. You'll see on the exit survey that it's not about, oh, I got my mind changed on this topic. It's that I see the other side's perspective a little bit more. I feel a little bit more open to, you know, listening to what they have to say. And that is the mission in action. Oftentimes people will say, well, okay, great. We all came together and we talked about it, whatever. But now what do we do about it? well, this is the doing. You're doing it. Because all of the research, too, now over these years is showing across the country, we're seeing with other organizations that are like-minded, that the needle is moving, but that it happens at the local level. So even if we're talking about the national landscape that's feeling whatever, so how can we accomplish that at the local level? Well, you have to. It is about approaching your literal neighbor in your neighborhood or people that you cross paths with out in the community, reaching beyond your neighborhoods, so that you're reaching people who have different backgrounds and experiences. It's that human-to-human interaction, and there's no easy button. There's no way around that. And I got to say, people love to beat up on social media, but social media is not our friend in this. The way we do what we do works is because if you come and, say, share a meal with someone at an event or even just over the snacks or whatever it is before or after the conversation or in that mingling time, you start talking about, oh, your kids go to school or my kids go to school or, oh, we go to the same grocery stores or church or whatever it is, or, oh, we have a, you know, some kind of shared interest of some sort. All of a sudden, that person next to you is a human just like you. And at the basis level, we're all just humans trying to, you know, get to know each other, make connections, make genuine connections. And then maybe down the road, you learn that this person who you really bonded and connected with and started having weekly coffees with, they disagree very vehemently with you on X, Y, and Z topics. But by then, that's like the 20th important thing about that person to you, because you've already learned to embrace them as a human and all of these other qualities and things about them. So it might make for some robust dialogue between the two of you, but now you've already done that work of connecting as humans, and that's why it has to happen face-to-face, person-to-person, not on social media, not off in some kind of other sphere where something else is going to, quote, fix the problem. We have to be doing it as individuals.
And that brings us back to October 12th's longest table. Among the thousand some attendees was the Reverend Candace McKibben.
What do you think the purpose of all this is, given the fact that most folks would, I think, acknowledge that we are perhaps a bit more distant from one another than maybe at any time, at least in recent memory? How do you think this might help?
Well, I think the idea of us coming together as community and sitting around a table and responding to some of these questions that are very thoughtful questions, and, you know, some of them fun-loving and some of them getting at the depths of some things that matter. I think it's really important for us to have an opportunity to talk to each other and be with each other. So I think showing up matters a lot, and it's easy in our culture to not show up, to find ways to not show up. But look at all the people, Tom, that have showed up tonight, and what a wonderful thing.
Do you think maybe we have lost the ability, though, to disagree without being disagreeable, or at least to put enough emotional distancing between our innermost selves and maybe our attitudes or viewpoints that, okay, you can disagree with me, but I don't take it as a personal attack? And do you think we've lost that?
I think we are struggling at regaining it, and we will regain it, I believe. I think events like this help us to do that. I do think it's hard. I think it's very hard, and it's become the norm. It's become accepted to be at odds and to be angry or to be, you know, at each other. But we can work on making a new intention of making our goodness and our kindness and our compassion and our love for each other be the most important thing that's heard.
I also chatted with Greg Tisch. He does the morning talk show on Real Talk 93.3 FM.
You're kind of right in the middle of a lot of things because you have a radio show that very often deals with contentious issues. Do you see things getting worse or with
events like this maybe a way to bring people more together than they are, or what, Greg?
I don't think we're that far apart. I just think it's that we go into our echo chambers and we don't come out like this to where we have events where we can talk to somebody that may not have the same viewpoint as us. And then, but then we just realize we're all Tallahasseans and we're all here for a great city. Let's all come together and make something great.
Well, all I can say, Greg Tisch, is keep on keeping on as far as the local scene is concerned. I will try to do the same from my end, and maybe between the two of us we can move the needle, I don't know, 1/2 of an inch maybe, if we're lucky?
1/2 of an inch would be incredible. Incredible if we could do that.
And lastly, I bumped into Ashley Leland. She's among the city's most devoted children's advocates.
What are you seeing as far as folks getting along with each other? Has, to your way of thinking, has it gotten worse, about the same? Is it better? What do you see?
Well, I can definitely say from today's turnout, seeing the Leon County Sheriff, seeing the police officers, seeing every, like, the community leaders just engaging with the community, it's amazing. And seeing how everyone is able to just talk, and it's just such a friendly and welcoming vibe. Like, this is what we need. This is what sets the tone. This is what gets everybody motivated to start their week and say, you know what, regardless of what is going on, a community like this, we can pull together. So, yeah, that's how I see it. That's how I see it.
So I guess the bottom line, despite all the despondency and despair about our present state of fracture in society, there are also more than a few folks who say there's reason for hope. I'm Tom Flanagan with Tom About Town.